morning.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
You're listening to the Ion Cannon Podcast.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Your source for entertainment reviews from a galaxy far, far away.
This is it.
Hey, laser clankers!
Welcome to the Ion Cannon Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Steven, and I'm joined by my friends and co-hosts, Tom and William. Today, we are here to talk about Season 3, Episodes 6 and 7, titled Infiltration and Extraction. And Tom, hopefully getting your thoughts on this episode won't require either infiltration or extraction.
You wanted
a pun, so there you go.
Good, thank you, but I'm going to bring up one better. I wish you guys would have helped with the extraction. Remember when you sat there and had the Empire come and take me away for an episode because you guys ended up taking over the rest of it?
that
would have
been
nice if you guys helped to extract me.
Well, yeah, we did. You're back.
I know.
Yeah,
I am.
Exactly. All's well that ends well, right?
Exactly.
Very true.
Right. Yes, but we're back. We're talking the Bad Batch. We are almost... I think with this episode, we'll pretty much be at the halfway point through the season. There's 15 episodes. I still suspect the series finale may be a doubly long episode, even though it's just one, listed as a single episode. So maybe we'll see. It's either this week or next week is the, halfway point. But it's been fun to review the Bad Batch with you guys. We still got a lot more to go. With that, Tom... We have a special two-parter, so do you want to tell our listeners what we'll be reviewing today?
Today we're going to be reviewing Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 6, the first episode called Infiltration. This was directed by Stuart Lee and written by Brad Rao. And the second episode is Season 3, Episode 7, Extraction, directed by Sal Ruiz and written by Jennifer Corbett and Matt McNivitz. The two episodes deal with a mysterious operative is captured, and then that triggers a chain of events.
Yes. And this is the first two-parter of the season. So this is a... You can always tell when the episodes are somewhat bigger because we get a two-parter. And yeah, I think, kind of similar to last season, right? Where we got the Ryuchichi two-parter. This one also, again, starts to dive more into what's happening with the clones. We get some of these new... cool clone ex-troopers and kind of a who's who of clones. Tom, your thoughts going into this episode? I have to imagine you were pretty darn excited, right?
I'm excited to see clones, but the one thing I'm really liking is we get to see Senator Tucci again, and we get to see a little bit of the, okay, here you have two factions that were at the original Clone Wars on opposite sides of the Clone Wars, now basically starting to work together because you have Chuchi on one side because she's doing a secret meeting with Senator Abby Singe on Raxus. And you're looking here going, well, wait a minute. They were enemies at one point, and now they're realizing something is now wrong. So these two at once enemies are now coming together to be allies because something that they thought was going to be right is now wrong.
Yeah, it's cool to see the return of Senator Avi Singh again. He was in Season 1's Common Ground. And, of course, we had a lot of Senator Ryuchichi as well from the Clone Wars. You mentioned it, Tom. In the Clone Wars, we had these two very different sides, the Grand Army of the Republic and the Separatists, right? And the Confederacy of Independent Systems. And... this, we've seen this in other forms too, but we've also often joked, right? Well, the Republic became the Empire, so were the Separatists the good guys, right? And in some ways, it's not quite that black and white, right? In many times, there were like splinter groups, and some of the Republic, turned into the rebels, and some of the Separatists became rebels, and the factions all just kind of rearranged themselves. But you're totally right in that now you have the former Senator of Raxus. Still the current Senator of Raxus teaming up with a Republic Senator, something you have never seen in the Clone Wars. And I love that the Bad Batch just gives us more of these kinds of moments.
And that's what I think is making the show work, is because they're bringing basically the opposite sides together of the Clone Wars to fight now what really was the evil side of the Clone Wars. you're bringing them together to basically start a rebellion against the Empire that spun out of the Clone Wars. So I find that fascinating, but I'm also finding it fascinating that, yeah, we've got clones that are coming back, but we're all of a sudden starting to see these really interesting clone X troopers that are becoming assassins, because there was a clone X trooper that was supposed to be there to kill both of these senators at this meeting.
Yeah, yeah. And so this is where, you know, I love that we get Rex back. We get so many clones, so many famous clones. But the X-Troopers are really, really cool. And it sounds like this is what they were trying to make Crosshair into, potentially, right? They're taking the clones, removing their personality, and even more so than, you know, the clones mm-hmm. before. And, yeah, turning them into these like secret weapons, right? They have no identifier. They have it sounds like no memory, no personality really. And yeah, it's kind of a cool concept, these secret weapons of the Empire.
Perfect assassins.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like they take the battle droids and they wipe them completely and give them a brand new personality of nothing but your mission is to be an assassin and that's it. Everything's going to be wiped. They're basically now clone droids, because that's all they do, is they are there to go commit assassinations.
Yeah. And they're called like shadows, right? I love that they call them that, these shadows. Eventually we find out they're technically called X troopers or clone X troopers, but the shadows are just, that's a cool name too. Yeah. So let's see. So, you know, they end up, Rex ends up capturing one of the X-Troopers, and, you know, his identifying number is wiped. He has this like special impact on one of his teeth, and he just refuses to talk. And they learn that this assassin, this shadow, was sent after both the senator and Omega. And so that's where they're trying to tie into the larger plot of, oh no, Omega, she may have reunited last week with the rest of the Bad Batch, but she's still in danger. And there's a lot of these X-Troopers out there. There's a lot of them. Like, Scorch sends out another one to take out Senator Singh after the first one fails. Mm-hmm. It's a really cool concept.
And that's going to be interesting with this other one that he sends out. There are rumors about who it could probably be, but is it one of the standard, you know, clone X-Troopers that they reprogrammed on Tantus? Or is it a possible head fake or head turn that somebody, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
Interesting. You think it could be someone we know?
Yeah. I think it's a possibility, because you never see a conclusion to something other than broken glasses. Oops. So I don't know. I mean, it seems like there's a little bit, at least for one of these.
Wait, hold on. You're saying you think this is tech?
Oh, I don't know.
Is that what you think, though?
Possibly.
Interesting.
Possibly.
I did not pick up on that at all. Now I'll have to rewatch it and see.
Possibly.
So, I'm curious. Sorry, what makes you think that? Because I think he's dead.
They hang on, unless it is a head fake.
Okay.
They hang on to... Again, they're all shadows. They all look the same. But it seems like there is just a hanging on to this just for a little bit longer of the next one he sends out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I had not expected that at all. That was even on my bingo card.
You know what? Hey, look, yeah. If it's wrong, then you know what? There goes my $5 bingo card. I don't care. It's only $5. I mean, I wish it was $1, but because I'm cheap. But I just, you never know. The way this show has been going, you never know who they're going to bring back.
It's true.
That's true. Yeah. And speaking of bringing back clones, this was pretty much a who's who of clones. Not only do we get, you know, the usual, batch, right? But we get Rex returning. We get Scorch, who actually, I think this is, is this the first episode where he talks? I think so.
Yeah.
We get Wolf back. We get Fireball, Greer, Hauser, Lieutenant Hilo, Samson, like, and even a mention of Gregor, who we last saw on Dara when the Batch rescued him from a secret TK training facility. So we get all of these clones. It is, you know, for a fan of the clones, this is such a fun episode.
Now that's a bingo card of who's who.
Yeah, like literally. Yeah. And Tom, I know you were saying you were hoping that we might get an answer to how Gregor and Wolf and Rex end up where they do in Rebels.
Yep.
And I was like, nah, we're not going to see it. Like they're not.
At some point.
I mean, at some point they have to. Sometimes you don't want to over-explain everything, right? But the fact that now we've got Wolf in this episode and we get a name drop of Gregor, it's got to happen.
It has to, because again, I've always said, if you're going to point out something, you have to use it. Okay.
I'm not quite as convinced that we'll see Gregor here.
Well,
I kind of read it as putting a lampshade on it to some degree, that they know Gregor will show up at some point, but maybe
he's around. But
well, that part I agree with. Yeah,
that part I agree with. Maybe he's close at hand.
I totally agree with that thing that we may not see him within the episodes, but Gregor has to appear because again, there has to be an explanation of how Rex and Wolf and Gregor get together and end up on.
I mean, or it happens off screen.
It can happen off screen, but it gets back to the Empire knows the three of them are still alive. So
yeah, I do think we'll probably see, I don't want to say the end of Rex's resistance, because that's maybe not the right word, but I think we'll see a wrap on this kind of clone arc. Like this episode does, or sorry, both of these episodes do a lot to kind of move that kind of story along of what is happening to the clones, how are they being taken care of? And I suspect we'll see the end of that story. Mm-hmm. Maybe Gregor shows up, maybe he doesn't, but that'll kind of be the Rex's retirement, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, do you think the Rex's retirement will be if they ever attack Mount Tantus? That would be the retirement? And that would be the retirement of all the clones?
It does feel like we're building up towards that.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Right. But yeah. I guess Rex, I'm not sure if he can be involved in the assault on Mount Tantus, because the Empire knows about him in Rebels and they haven't gone and killed him. So I'm really interested to see. Well, I think the one thing I would love an answer to, more to your point, Tom, is why don't the Empire care about Rex
Rex, Wolf, and Gregor.
Right. But like Rex is currently leading the resistance against the Empire. And so
do they openly know that he is doing it?
Because maybe
they
not.
Could always, yeah, they could yeah. always, if you want to look at somebody who could be the one that could be the pinpoint, you could always pinpoint it as being Echo. Because Echo's the one that you've always seen him do the infiltration, getting within the systems. You never really see Rex. You only see Rex basically be the cloak and dagger guy behind the scenes. Okay. But Echo's one that could probably leave signatures around within a database or wherever within the Empire. They could always think is like a throw off. It's Echo.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we'll see. I'm excited to see where they go, because, you know, we all love the clones. A key part of this series is the story of the clones and what happens to them. And so, yeah, I do think we'll have to get more. I love how this episode spends so much time on the clones and the ex-troopers and everything else. So let's see. In addition to learning more about a little bit of the ex-troopers in the first part of this two-parter infiltration, Echo takes the Bad Batch to the secret base to meet with Rex, and apparently, like, they were originally going to rendezvous with Gregor, so again, get that reference, but he had to put that on hold to go help the Batch. And he gives Omega a special blaster, which is nice. And then takes them to the clones, and here we get to see, again, we get to see Hauser, we get to see all of these amazing clones. It's so cool to see Hauser again. He was such a great character earlier in the series, and so I'm glad he's back. And we get this, again, great dynamic between him and Crosshair, because Crosshair was there on Ryloth with Hauser. Yep. And they do not trust each other at all. But, you know, you've got, on the other hand, you've got Rex saying, no, you, we gotta trust him. We're all on the same side now. I know you may have had history in the past, but again, diving into that, why do they trust Crosshair? Can he regain their confidence? And it's,
yeah,
it's really cool.
Yeah, I appreciate seeing Crosshair, you know, not be afraid to both own that, you know, he changed sides and was working for the Empire. Now he's not, but also just kind of freely given up in, as much as he knows about Mount Tantus, even though that, you know, often doesn't seem like a lot to Hauser and the rest. Mm-hmm. But he's trying.
He's trying, and at least we saw in the last episode that he is at least earning the trust back to Hunter and Wrecker.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's got to be the other way is around, where with the rest of the clones, he's got to win that trust back for them.
Yeah, and so I think
it's
right?
Small steps. He will.
Yeah, he will. Like he already shared all that information on the X-Troopers, and you know, when he finds out there's one in custody, he gets really worried because he knows what they're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, I like that they did that. The other interesting thing is the X-Troopers, going back to those guys for a minute, they are apparently, the Empire has ways of tracing them that are completely untraceable. I'm curious to learn. I don't think we'll ever get an explanation as to how this works. I'm very curious about that.
It's interesting because I like how you said they're traceable, yet they're untraceable.
Right. Well, it's they're undetectable. Trackable, but undetectable. Exactly.
Yeah, but that's funny because it's almost contradicting itself. We're going to track you, but it's undetectable that we're tracking, tracking you.
But this leads to this great, all of a sudden, this you really get this sense of, oh, no. They're in big trouble because they have an X-Trooper there. The Empire must know where their base is, where they're hidden. Crosshair knows just how bad it is. The rest of them don't quite yet. And he tries to save them, but it's already almost too late. It's already too late because the X-Trooper is inside the facility.
And this is the one, where I am saying that there is that little glimmer that this one might be the one that is the total unexpected. We're throwing you a curveball.
The one that's captured?
No, not that one.
Oh, the other one.
The other one that showed up.
Interesting.
Yes. That's why I'm saying that I think there's a curveball coming.
I mean, the second X-Trooper did have Omega in his sights and he didn't shoot her. Now, they also want her alive. So maybe that's
true. That is true. I mean, you know what? It's one of those things in which it's wishful thinking. You hope it could happen. And yes, they did have bring her back alive commands for that. He did have him inside. And you could sit there and argue away. He had her in his sights to make sure it was Omega. I mean, it's very lazy excuse. But still, you know, he did sit there and just call for an extraction team instead of sitting there taking out the target.
I mean,
so.
Yeah, he was told not to kill her, but
right, but
yeah, I don't know. But this sets in chain, in motion a chain of events where like the whole base basically explodes, and a giant fight breaks out. I don't know. When I was originally watching, I wasn't 100% sure how it started because I feel like if he was calling in a recovery strike team to get Omega, the X-Trooper, I feel like he should have just waited. But I don't know. Either way, this giant fight breaks out and basically brings down the base around them. And that leads to a cliffhanger as the Imperial Strike Team arrives. And that takes us into the second episode. And it turns out the X-Trooper, he survived. We thought maybe, you know, like he might have died in the collapse of the rubble. Nope, he's just fine. Along with, most of the clones. Like, the one critique I have about the second episode is that there's so many clones, and yet most of them seem to survive. Like, I didn't notice a lot of the named clones dying, even though they say, oh, there's so many dead clones, and it's supposed to be this massive catastrophic loss in some ways for Rex's group. What did you guys feel about? How did you feel about the attack?
I mean, it's intense. It's the full out, you know, assault and. Actually, sorry. I meant to ask this, and was we were talking through the first episode. Have we been in this location before?
I think this is the first time because I think the only time we've seen Rex with the rest of the clones.
Not with the clones. I could have.
So I'm with you, Steven. I'm not sure, but as I was watching it, I was like, is this Teth? This feels like Zero's old base on Teth.
Why am I not remembering?
From the Clone Wars movie.
I agree.
Yeah. Where, why am I blanking out his name? Drippy? What was the baby Jabba named?
Stinky. Oh, Stinky, yes.
Stinky, like, you're talking about where Stinky is, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I was literally watching, like, this looks so familiar. Is this Clone Wars?
So I have no confirmation of that, but it feels like it is to me.
Okay, I'm glad I'm not alone.
I would so have to go back.
But, and watch that watching us go through that location, I just kept getting massive deja vu.
Right. and for those listening, we've only had a chance to see the episodes once. There's a limited window for the screeners, but I'm pretty sure that was Teth. I'm not 100% sure. We could come back, you know, in a week or two and say, "Oh, we were completely wrong." But I think it's Teth. I think it's Teth.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel better. Glad I'm not alone.
You know, I think I said Zero's old base earlier. I don't think that was it, but it was. Yeah, I think it's part of the. I think it's the base on Teth.
But yeah, I'm gonna have to watch this again.
I don't know.
I just my biggest thing is it just when it comes to like the amount of clones that were there, it was a lot, but it didn't seem like it was. A lot for being a main base,
right?
So well, yeah,
but I mean, they even say like the ex-trooper even says he managed to eliminate most of the clones, but there's a small group of survivors,
right?
But the small group of survivors is, I think, most of the clone troopers. Like we know that at least some of the clones we saw in the previous episode disappeared, but I'm not sure if they died. Because like the Wolf, Hauser, Hilo, and Namek are the only ones credited with speaking roles, and so I think that leaves like what happened to Fireball and Greer and Samson. But I'm not confident they actually died in the attack. We have to go back and rewatch it. So
yeah,
I guess it felt like they were saying, oh, a whole bunch died, but I don't think we ever got confirmation that anyone we care about died. And so it lessens the impact just a little bit of the attack.
But that's the other thing that comes into question is exactly how big is this now new clone army under Rex? How big is it? You know, how many of them were able to...
huge yet.
Maybe a couple dozen. You know,
based on what we're seeing here. But yeah.
Right. Yeah, this may not have been the main base.
It's tricky.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's unclear. But a lot of this episode is just about escaping the base, right? As you would expect, it's called Extraction. And so they have to make their way down to the bottom of the base where they have an escape ship, but it is quite a trek down there. And so it's basically a race between the clone ex-trooper who's trying to follow them down and the Empire's reinforcements and our friends, the clones, Rex and team trying to make it down to the bottom of the base. And it's kind of like a giant staircase down a giant hole in the middle of the spire. That they have to make it all the way down safely. And, you know, you've got like at one point Wolf trying to the Empire trying to box them in by flying down to the bottom and blowing up the exit and the X-Trooper rappelling down from the top. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. We get to see Crosshair start to regain, I'd say, some of his scale. He's got a couple of shots on the X-Trooper that are, you know, still, he's still struggling clearly, but he's back in it, you know, trying.
Yeah.
I mean, the only way to two ways to solve this problem is one, mental. And then two, he's got to just get back into it and just start doing it. And then that would hopefully help him, you know, with his aim and get him back to what he's supposed to be, you know, a great sniper.
Yeah. I think we will see him, I believe, get fully back to normal. You know, it continues a lot of what happened in the previous episode. So again, we see Hauser talking about how Crosshair is, you know, he's different than he was on Ryloth, and he's not, he's a changed man, which we've all seen over the last season, right? Yeah. So I think one of the things I also really liked about this episode is just the action, right? We started to talk about it earlier, but you're basically trying to make their way down this giant spire, and you've got Wolf trying to box him in, and the clone X trooper coming from behind, and you know, the X trooper, he does manage to take out some of the clones, but as you were saying, Tom, right, we get some more Crosshair where they run out of smoke grenades, and so the only choice is for Crosshair to try to hold off the X trooper with a sniper battle, which is, you know, who doesn't love a good sniper battle, right?
Mm-hmm. It's always good,
right? Yeah, and you get some great hand to hand combat eventually once they get down to the bottom along the river, and some vibro knives, right? And they're like literally in the water at that point, going over, you know, basically. Waterfalls. Thankfully, they survive, but it's a really cool sequence, you know. And that it ends with the X trooper and Crosshair facing one another. And of course, Crosshair was he was in the X trooper program. It didn't work, but he was very close to becoming one of these troopers. And so it makes it a lot more personal when the X trooper is standing there saying, you know, you chose the wrong side. And then Hauser shoots him in the back and saves Crosshair, which is so perfect and really brings, it shows how Hauser is starting to realize Crosshair is different. And he's not the same clone he was back on Ryloth. And he even pulls him out of the water just before he goes over the waterfall. But the X-Trooper's not so lucky.
Now, how the X-Trooper was able to survive that fall, I don't know. But then again...
Yeah, I was shocked he survived that.
Yeah. But again, you get back to, there's a reason he survived.
Because you think
he... has
to be a reason. I'm telling you,
if I'm not going to put any money on it because I'm cheap, but...
Feels risky.
Well, hey, how risky can it be if I'm not going to put any money on it? Okay. Here's my other thing. If they tried to get Crosshair as one of these troopers and failed, who's to say that, let's say it is Tech, that they were somehow able to revive him and make that one work? Because if I also remember correct, in this season, wasn't it Dr. Hemlock that actually had those goggles in his hand and showed it to somebody?
I think he showed it. I think it was the end of last season, right? When they had Hunter cornered.
Right. But somebody had Tech's broken goggles.
Yeah. That was at the very end of last season. Yeah. I think that was more just to reinforce that he was dead. I hope they don't try to bring him back. Cause that just feels.
It would
cheapen his death.
Agreed.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I think it would be best if he just basically, you know, let him lie where he ended up. Okay. But you never know. I mean, you never know.
Yeah. Interesting.
You know? Yeah. But let's get to Wolf, because I thought I actually thought the whole interaction between Wolf and Rex at the end of the episode.
It was the highlight of the episode. Very telling.
Yeah.
It was the highlight. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yes. For sure. Yeah. For sure.
Because Wolf to literally sit there and let them go was one of the coolest things to see. But also it's like, is that now the catalyst for Wolf to sit there and start thinking, hey, you know, maybe with this discussion I had with Rex, maybe Rex is right.
Oh, without a doubt.
Maybe there is something wrong. Yeah.
Without a doubt, right? I think it's, you know, Wolf thought Rex was dead, at least based on all the official reports. And so when Rex pops up and he's fighting the Empire, Wolf is shocked. He's very surprised. And the moment where they talk and Rex tells him the truth, right? That the Empire is experimenting on clones and doesn't care about them and is evil. And, you know, as you'd expect, Wolf doesn't believe it at first, right? He has his orders because good soldiers follow orders. And, you know, he doesn't seem to care that he's hunting a child, basically, Omega. But I do think this is, like we saw with Crosshair last season, I think this season we're going to see Wolf come around. Mm-hmm. I do think that's going to be a big storyline this season. Because he lets them go ultimately, right? You know, he after Echo meets, you know, makes it back to Rex, he decides to let them all leave, and you know, he even tells Lieutenant Hilo they're clones. We owe them that. So, I think this is the first crack in that plastoid clone armor.
Yep. Oh, good one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
So out of these episodes, we don't know what's coming after these, right?
Well, we've seen one more. So there's one more we've seen. And then,
we don't know. It's been a while.
Yeah. It's interesting, though. I think this is where things will probably start. I mean, there's a lot we haven't seen yet. We haven't seen Asajj Ventress. We haven't seen the resolution of, you know, Mount Tantus, right? This episode teases that in order to keep Omega safe, they kind of have to figure out why she is so important, because the Empire wants her, but they have no idea why, and that makes it really hard to protect her.
And the funny thing is, isn't it fascinating that we all know why the Empire needs her, but they don't?
Yeah. Yep. It's a, you know, it's a storytelling choice.
Yeah, it is. It's a storytelling choice, but it's fascinating that you're sitting here watching these characters try to figure out something that we all know. And it's fun to see how it's all written this way.
Yeah. No, yeah. And the, you know, ultimately, Hunter feels kind of bad because he led the Empire to their doorstep, and all of the clones are dying as a result. And remember last season, right? They wanted to settle down and basically retire, and maybe they would have if it hadn't been for Omega getting captured, now they have no choice but to finish this fight and to make sure that she is going to be safe going forward. And so it's a much more personal thing. And now they have to fight. There's no choice.
Yeah. William, had to give a number to these two episodes.
I think I do 8.5 Womp Rats out of 10. I really enjoyed the action, right? It was great action. It was great. Some great moments, especially with Wolf and Rex, you know, seeing their dynamic is fantastic. The ex-troopers and learning more about who are these shadowy soldiers, these assassins, was really fun as well. Of course, some great action. You know, it's just a really, really solid two-parter for The Bad Batch. And I enjoyed it. So I think, I guess my 8.5 Womp Rats, they're helping to hold off the Empire and the clone ex-trooper and Wolf. You know, a lot of clones may have died, but more would have died if it wasn't for the Womp Rats. So
very nice.
Yeah. Steven, what would you give these episodes?
Yeah, Steven, what would you do it?
I mean, ultimately, like, both of these episodes are fairly straightforward. You know, it's, you know, Rex and crew pick up the batch, bring them to this planet. They get attacked. They escape. That's I've summarized 40 minutes of episodes, you know, in two sentences. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's any worse off. I think more than anything, these two episodes for me, particularly the scenes at the beginning with the two senators, solidify that the Bad Batch is the clone epilogue story. Mm-hmm. It is what happened to the clones, why did it happen, and what piece, if any, can they find? And I think this episode does a great job of advancing that story. So I think I'm going to give it mine 7.5 Womp Rats. And, you know, my 7.5 Womp Rats from birth, they were swimming, they were trained to swim, dive, you know, they basically were like womp beavers, you know, but obviously womp beavers don't exist. It's only womp rats. But they are there in the water, hidden, and they are the ones that actually saved the clone X trooper at the very end. Unseen.
Wow.
You know, they trained from birth to swim, so they were able to do it.
Wow.
What about you, Tom?
Well, I'm going to give both episodes an 8. I agree with you, Stephen. They were very straightforward episodes because it gave you basically a really good battle that had a beginning and then it basically in the first part, and then it basically went to the end in the second part. So I appreciated them putting them both together and showing them back to back. I thought the action was great. The story was great. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens with this now ex-trooper that is the main ex-trooper since the other one is now gone. And I still want to see what happens with Wolf. We know what his ending point is. We know that where the questioning the Empire started with Wolf. And he also, if I remember correct, when he says good soldiers follow orders, I do remember him saying that also in Rebels. So that is something to where it is true that soldiers follow orders. So I like all these things. It was a good episode, both of them. So they are 8. My 8 Womp Rats. You know what? It was the 8 Womp Rats that were basically in between Rex and Wolf. And yes, it was the two. The 8 Womp Rats were actually the negotiating between the two sides of Rex and Wolf to make sure that Wolf actually let Rex and his side walk away freely. It was the Womp Rats that were in the center basically as the peacekeepers to make sure everybody stayed, you know, polite, made sure that they were on the same side, made sure they understood each other, and they were able to convince Wolf to let Rex go.
Very nice.
Yeah.
William, what do we got coming up next week?
Yeah, coming up on Ion Cannon, we have the next episode of The Bad Batch, Season 3, Episode 8, Bad Territory. And we may see a familiar friend, that's all I'll say. Very excited for... this will be a fun one, and then I'm sure the back half of the season is just going to amp things up into high gear, but... You know, so far, I really feel like the first half of this season has been just really, really solid, you know, mm-hmm. especially.
I totally agree.
Especially even compared to like season, you know, 2, for example, where maybe there was, you know, a few twists and turns here and there and side adventures. And so I've been very pleased with the first half of this season. And I am excited for them to enter into the home stretch.
And I think the best thing about this first half is it literally is one long story with not many sidetracks. Mm-hmm. And that's the best thing about it, because if there is a breather episode, you're not noticing it because it's actually moving at a very good pace. So what's going to happen on the back half is going to be fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yep. Awesome. Well... Thank you guys for listening. This was a fun episode as always. And we will be back next week with our review of Bad Territory. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Ion Cannon Podcast, your source for entertainment reviews from a galaxy far, far away. For over a decade, Ion Cannon has covered every corner of the saga, from the films and animated series like The Clone Wars and Rebels, to books, comics, games, and more. If you like what you hear, please rate us in your favorite podcast client. Your review will help this show grow within the Star Wars community. We can be found at our website, ioncannoncast.com, and you can follow us through Facebook and Twitter. To email us, you can do so at contact@ioncannoncast.com.
The Ion Cannon podcast is not associated with Lucasfilm, the Walt Disney Company, or any and all of their respective trademarks or copyright holders. Any opinion expressed on the show are that of the hosts. This podcast is a production by fans, for fans, and is copyright 2018.